Hello once again. Welcome to our Bible study program. We've got a really interesting subject today, and as we look to go through the New Testament, we have Mark in the book of Ephesians and Jeff in the book of Romans and myself in the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy right now. And we're just encouraged that ones are listening and ones are soaking up the Word of God as we're going verse by verse through the New Testament epistles. Such a needed thing we felt and are led by the Lord, we pray, that the Scripture would be taught. There's so many people today, and praise the Lord for them. They're born again. They know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they seem to be content with knowing how to get to heaven, and that's really all they seem to be content with. But the Scripture tells us that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And we need to go on and not only say, hey, I'm going to heaven, but I'm here to glorify the Lord. And how else can we glorify the Lord Jesus unless we know His Word? Because, you know, His Word is His will. The Word of God and the will of God for your life will never contradict. You know, if the will of God in your life is something in your mind that's contrary to the Word of God, we need to reevaluate and say, hey, this can't be the will of God for me. It's contrary to His Word. So those things never contradict. So let us dig in the Word, and I would encourage every one of you that has been listening, those that have seen us on the street or have, by word of mouth, mentioned to us, they've heard the program. We're just so thrilled that ones are looking at this Scripture with us and listening. We would just desire to encourage the Christians in Randolph County to grow in the Word. We have a broadcast elsewhere that we primarily look at preaching the gospel. We appreciate your prayers for that program. It goes out at another time, another station. We also help out with another program as well that's a little newer. So we appreciate the prayers. We really do. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come in your presence, and again, it's a privilege. We read in this Old Testament how it was said, we come into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We just worship the Lord Jesus Christ and lift His name above all and upon high. We thank you that He is upon at our right hand, Father, that He has completed the work that needs to be done. Yet we're thankful that He is there with that present ministry of Himself right now. Our mediator and our advocate, our great high priest, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for what He has done and what He is doing today on our behalf. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name, the name that's above every name. Amen. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we only mentioned one verse actually yesterday because we were introducing this chapter, a chapter that has a lot of interesting and needful points in it, speaking of the oversight of the local church, speaking of the house of God, speaking of the mystery of godliness. And this week we'll be looking, hopefully, Lord willing, at the first seven verses, primarily. And as we mentioned, we'd like to look at the qualifications of those that are shepherds in the flock. We'd like to look at the responsibilities of those individuals that are shepherds in a flock. We'd like to look at also how the people of God are to treat how they're to react to these ones that are the shepherds of a local church. So, having said that, verse 1 again reads, this is a true saying or a faithful saying. If a man desires overseership or the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Again, we would look at the 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus as a group, as a combination of studies. We call it in today's language and theological circles. It's called the Pastoral Epistles. And in these three books, the term a true saying or a faithful saying is mentioned five times. We mentioned in chapter one, the first one, when Paul spoke in his little testimony there, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. So we see a faithful saying, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then secondly, today we see the second of the five faithful sayings in the pastoral epistles, and that speaks of the faithful or true saying of how it is a good work if a man desires overseership in a local assembly. He desires a good work. You know, there's a crown as well. There's a crown mentioned as well for those that are in this area of leadership in a faithful way in the New Testament church. The crown is something to look forward to. It's something that we run the race for, the race as a Christian, after we know the Lord, because when we have crowns given to us in glory, we will throw those crowns back at the blessed feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, no flesh will glory in his presence. Anything that we're given, such as that, we will have a tremendous desire for being in his presence. We will want to glorify him even more and throw it back at his feet. So those that do serve him faithfully, you know, there's an opportunity there to have a crown to throw back at the feet of the blessed Savior, the one who purchased us with his own blood. This subject, on the surface, may look like a dry subject to some people. Say, oh, well, I'm not one of the shepherds, so why should I really be concerned, my friend? Let us look at this in a fresh way. It's far deeper than that. If we know, as ones that attempt to shepherd the flock, how we ought to behave, if we are ones that may not be gifted and burdened in that area, we still need to know how we're to treat them, how they are to treat us, how, because we're all in the same body, they're not a higher level of Christian, let's emphasize that. But we also need to know how the local church should function, because that glorifies the Lord when we obey him. Also, the angels are learning by watching us. They are not redeemed. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And we see that the angels themselves are watching and learning by those that are in the church. Those that are the body of Christ. So there's a great responsibility to those that are in the local church. It's not just, hey, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's all that matters. You know, we are here to glorify him. The scripture makes it abundantly clear that to glorify him is everything. Have you ever thought about this? If all that mattered was that we could look at it in, and I say this reservedly, but in a selfish way, if all that mattered was that we were going to heaven, then why doesn't he take us out of here the second we receive him as our Savior? Why doesn't he just yank us out of here? My friend, because he wants to conform us to his image. He wants to have us as vessels and tools in his hand to glorify himself, to glorify his Son, which the Son always glorifies the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. And for us to be here after we're saved is just a glorious privilege and opportunity to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we will fail at times. Any Christian that's honest will admit that. But it's a process of him bringing us closer unto himself. After we're saved, we are to be on the sincere milk of the word, desire that. Then we're to go on past the fundamentals of the scripture and desire the meat of the word. You know, there are Christians that have been saved for decades, and yet they're still on the milk of the word. They have no desire, apparently, or maybe they've been where they haven't been well taught. They just thank the Lord. They know the salvation like the back of their hand, but that's all that they're concerned with. You know, the scripture says in Leviticus chapter 1, speaking of those burnt offerings and the five offerings of the Old Testament, which picture Christ and what he has done, the burnt offering makes it clear that Christ first gave himself wholly unto God. His first purpose for dying on the cross was that he did the will of the Father. Lo, in the volume of the book it is written, I come to do thy will, O God. He did his Father's will, and in that we receive our tremendous portion. We have been saved by the precious blood of Christ. Oh, my friends, I believe in evangelism. I believe in witnessing to people and telling lost souls of their need for Christ. So don't get me wrong. There is a tremendous need to evangelize the world and to tell every soul and every creature, as the Great Commission says in the end of the book of Matthew. Yes, there is that need. But we need to balance the need of evangelism and preaching the gospel with teaching the saints, with building up the body of Christ in a way that's honoring to the Lord Jesus himself. He saved us to serve him. We are bond servants. He is our master. You know, when you're saved, you go from being, you change masters. It's not that you're, when the scripture says that we're set free from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of Satan, who is the god of this world, but it doesn't mean we're free just to go about doing as we please and to pick our own preferences. The scriptures make it clear we are saved to serve Christ. There's a reason in our salvation. You know, and we'll jump into our passage here after I make this one note here. There's such ideas in the body of Christ today as supermarket theology. Ones will be glad that they're saved, but then they'll go along like they're in the supermarket and say, well, I don't like these potatoes, but I sure like these onions. I'm going to pick up these tomatoes, but I don't want this garlic over here. You know, they'll pick and choose, and they'll treat the Word of God that way. They'll say, well, hey, I'm saved. I like that part of the Scripture. But this part over here, I'm not too keen on it, you see. And this part here, well, that takes too much commitment. I don't want it. But this part here speaks of the love of God. Well, I like that, you see. Well, my friend, the Scripture says, speak the truth in love. There's a balance there. Without love, well, how will we accomplish conforming to Christ? How will we be like Christ if we have not love? Yet, without truth. Well, love without truth is not godly love, my friend. So we need both truth and love. Having said that, I just wanted to whet your appetite and realize, hey, just because we're on a subject that may not specifically be directed at you, in reality it is. If you are or are not one of the shepherds in a local assembly, my friend, it still affects you in a great way. We are all part of the body of Christ. And, you know, this introduction is so important. I've spent 2 days on introducing this very subject. Lord willing, Wednesday, we may even get into chapter 3, verse 2, instead of just hanging on to verse 1 here. But this is Mike Moody, and Lord willing, we'll be in chapter 3, verse 2 even tomorrow. Thank you. This has been the Two Roads and Two Deathboats Radio Ministry.